Won't you pray with me? Almighty God, we come this day seeking your face, seeking your presence, wanting to know more of your story. And we ask, Lord, but by the power of your Spirit, you would bring your word to life today. Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds and our lives to receive what you would have for us today, how you would speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and move among us. Bring your word to life. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Listen to God's holy word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we begin our Advent series as we are looking at the different characters in the Christmas story and their encounter with the Messiah. And today we have the opportunity to hear from Mary about her encounter with Jesus, the Messiah. And we will hear from Mary at three different stages of her life. So listen now to Mary's story.
My name is Mary. I'm an ordinary girl from an ordinary family in an ordinary village. But lately, some things have been happening that are far from ordinary. A few days ago, I was working in the garden when an angel appeared out of nowhere. "Greetings," he said to me. "You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I didn't know what he meant or what kind of greeting this could be. Then he told me that I was to give birth to a son, the Son of the God Most High, who would be called Jesus. He would be a king over the throne of David, and his kingdom would never end. I was very confused by this. After all, though I'm betrothed to Joseph, we aren't married yet, and I've never been alone with a man, and I'm old enough to know where babies come from. I don't know where I got the courage, but I actually talked back to an angel. I asked him how this would happen. The angel told me about the power of God, and that this would be God's son. He also told me about my cousin Elizabeth, who is expecting a child in her old age. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." I believed him, and I said yes. My heart was overwhelmed with joy and excitement. My people have been waiting for such a long time for the Messiah, God's anointed, the one who would rescue us and establish God's kingdom. Perhaps the time is finally here and God will come to save us, and somehow he has chosen me. It happened as the angel said. The power of the Most High came over me. There was a light, a warmth, and a peace. I knew God was with me. I've never felt so chosen. I've never felt so blessed. I've never felt so loved. How quickly things change. One minute I'm feeling overwhelmed with joy to be chosen and loved, and the next, I'm feeling all alone. You should have seen what happened when I told my mother. At first, she didn't pay much attention to me. She was more concerned with preparing dinner for all the men than listening to a message about an angel calling me highly favored. But she did stop to listen when I told her about the baby, and her face and the things she said when I told her it wasn't going to be Joseph's. And that's when I began to realize that I might be blessed among women. It was a very mixed blessing. My mother lives in disgrace. My father wants to know who the father is. I will beat him to within an inch of his life, he screams. Again, I told them about the angel. They called me blasphemous. How could I tell them that the Lord Almighty was responsible? You should hear the things people are saying. How could a nice girl do a thing like this? I've brought shame to my family. I've broken my father's heart. I should be stoned. Joseph came to talk to me today. Now I'm very much alone. He looks so sad, not angry like I thought he might be sad. He was struggling, trying not to believe the voices in the marketplace and wanting to believe me. How I need him to believe me, but he said he could only believe his own eyes. I told him that God had chosen us to be husband and wife and that this child needed him to be his father. He replied that it was not his child and walked away from me. I feel utterly abandoned. I cannot understand why God has supposedly chosen me for the highest honor ever bestowed on a woman, only to be totally rejected by everyone around me. I would doubt the whole thing, imagining I'm going insane, if it was not for the evidence growing daily inside me, but both the baby and I are in grave danger. When I mentioned that my cousin Elizabeth is also having a baby, my father thought it'd be wise and safer for me to visit her. I can assist her during her own preparations. After all, she's not exactly young. The angel himself told me that Elizabeth was pregnant. I hope she will believe me. I traveled with a caravan down to Judah. My father had supplied me with a donkey. You can imagine Elizabeth's surprise when I arrived. She looked at me and said, "Mary, what a blessing to see you, my dear." How ready I was to hear those words. She called me a blessing. What a change from what the people back home were saying. Elizabeth couldn't wait to tell me her news, a woman at her age, barren for years, and now pregnant in her 6th month. She was surprised to hear that I already knew. Who would have thought that an angel would have spread such wonderful gossip? I was surprised to hear that Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah, had met Gabriel too. I told her, "Gabriel came to tell me that I am also to be a mother, Elizabeth. I am to bear the Messiah." Then Elizabeth winced. I quickly came close to support her. Elizabeth said that it was the strongest kick ever. And then something amazing. Elizabeth became filled with the Spirit of God and said, "Mary, dear, you're blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How fortunate that I am to have the mother of my Lord come to me. The babe that kicks within me is leaping for joy to hear your voice." First the angel had called me blessed, and now Elizabeth, even her unborn baby, had known. Looking at her and the beautiful smile on her face, I remembered Gabriel's words, "For nothing is impossible with God." My heart is overwhelmed with praise. God is good, and my soul cannot contain it. It's exactly what God promised, beginning with Abraham right up to now. The Messiah is coming.
No woman ever forgets the birth of her first child. But even now, years later, I remember every detail. Of course, if you were 9 months pregnant and had to make a 100-mile journey on the back of a donkey, you wouldn't forget either. It was slow going from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Once we were there, as we trudged from place to place, everything was full to overcrowding. I was getting more and more desperate, knowing my time was near. An innkeeper's wife took pity on us when she saw my condition. And she made her husband sweep the stable out back and give us room there. My labor pains began almost immediately. Joseph, bless him, did his best to make me comfortable, but he was no midwife. I don't know what I would have done if the innkeeper's wife had not returned. She had obviously delivered many babies in her time, and this was just another one to her, a break from her routine before she headed back to her guests out front. The time of Jesus' birth was hard. I was exhausted from the long trip to Bethlehem. I was exhausted from the labor. And there we were, in a stable, far from home. But then the baby came. To hold that baby, how can words describe the wonder? Every baby is a miracle. But this baby, my baby, God's baby. Suddenly, all the pain, the discomfort, the whole ordeal, it all vanished as I held him. It seemed as if the world stood still. When a woman holds her newborn child, she dreams about his future and the future of their family. But as I held my little son, I dreamed not just of his future and mine, but also of the future of our people. Joseph said he was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. That was the name the angel had given me as well. I wept to think of the ways that God had provided for us, both for Jesus and for me, through this kind man, Joseph, who had come to believe the angel's message. I wept to think of the ways God was providing for the world through the baby in my arms. Though I did not fully understand what it meant, I pondered it all in my heart. I pondered over the visit of the shepherds and their remarkable story of a choir of angels filling the sky. I pondered over the day when we met Simeon and Anna in the temple as Joseph and I took Jesus to be presented. Simeon called Jesus God's salvation. He said Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Israel. He told me my child was destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to reveal the state of people's hearts. Then he told me a sword would pierce my soul too. I have often wondered about this sword. And I've wondered about the star in the night sky that the Magi followed as they came from the east. When they arrived, it stirred up quite a lot of talk, believe me. What the neighbors must have thought. Horses and servants everywhere. There was nothing subtle about it. They had come to honor a king. And honor a king they did. The whole thing was very impressive. I just wish they had not impressed Herod so much on their way through Jerusalem. As soon as they turned up, we knew trouble was ahead. God confirmed that in dreams, both to ourselves as well as the Magi. Get out fast, he said. We hid the Magi's gifts as best we could in our baggage, and Joseph was able to locate a caravan heading down to Egypt that night. We fled, and just in time. We heard horses coming as we left town, but it wasn't until later that we learned all that happened that night. The full horror of it all, the deaths of all those children. Oh, those poor, poor mothers. After Herod died, the angel told us in a dream it was safe to return home. We came back to Israel and settled in Nazareth. Everyone assumed Jesus was Joseph's son, and we lived as any other family would. We had more children, and for the most part, our family life was pretty normal. Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He learned the scriptures, and we did everything we could to teach him the ways of God. I remember when those little feet took their first steps, and the first time he called me Mama. He really was the most delightful child. He had a smile that could light up the whole room. And when he laughed, there was such joy welling up inside me. It caused my own joy just to well up to overflowing. Oh, Jesus' laugh still does that for me. When Jesus was 12 and we were returning home from observing the Passover in Jerusalem, Joseph and I couldn't find him in our group of travelers. We were desperate with worry. It took us 3 days of searching to finally find him back in the temple. 3 long, terrifying days. That was a difficult time for me. When I scolded him, Jesus looked at us and calmly said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" I remember listening in as Jesus answered the teacher's questions. He knew the answer to everything they were asking, and I was amazed at what he said. Everyone was amazed. He told them things that Joseph and I and the teachers in Nazareth had never taught him. And even though I'd been scared to death at losing him, I was proud of him in that moment. I remembered all the things the angel told me about this child and the great things he was destined for. And I saw, though I did not want to admit it, that he was no longer only mine. And I wondered what the future would hold for him, all the things that had been promised. I had such great expectations for this child, God's child. I missed having Jesus around. He's left home and is traveling and teaching. He was even baptized by Elizabeth's son, John, and everyone there heard God say that Jesus was his beloved son. I have to admit, I was upset when he was rejected at Nazareth. They say a prophet is never welcome in his own town. But I was proud, so proud, when we were invited to a wedding and Jesus was able to help the family save face when they ran out of wine. He has been traveling all over, teaching and healing and freeing people from evil spirits. There is quite a crowd that follows him wherever he goes. I worry that he doesn't get enough rest. There are always more people to feed, more people to heal, more people to set free. And when he teaches, people listen. He teaches with such authority. And their lives are changed. The people love him. They really love him. I don't get to see much of him. He's always busy these days. I'm worried about my son. You should hear what is being said. He's upset the leaders at the temple and the Pharisees. They accuse him of all sorts of terrible things, including blasphemy. I'm afraid his life is in danger. And I understand he's even started to predict his own death. How can this be? He is to be the Messiah, the one who leads our people and brings the reign of God. The angel told me Jesus would reign over the throne of David and have a kingdom that did not end. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my son. God be with you. God be with you.
Looking back on my life, what a journey it has been. When the angel announced that I was to have a baby, God's holy child, I never would have guessed what was in store. When Simeon told me that a sword would pierce my soul, how could I know what this would mean? I was there, you know, at the end of his life. I'd gone to Jerusalem. My nephew John had already been killed by then, beheaded by another evil Herod. Jesus rode into Jerusalem like a king, the Messiah I knew him to be. But then, everything changed. He was falsely accused, tried, and sentenced to death. And then he was crucified. It was the worst day of my life. No mother should have to watch her child die. I felt the lashes that fell on his back. The back I used to wash when he was a little boy. I screamed until my throat was raw at those who hurled awful names at him. The son whose name I whispered daily in my prayers. I wept when they crushed the crown of thorns on his head. The head I kissed goodnight every time I put him to bed. But when they drove spikes through his hands, hands I'd held as we'd walked down the road, I felt the sword pierce my soul. Even while hanging on the cross, Jesus was thinking of others, thinking of me. He turned to his dear friend John, the disciple he loved, and asked him to look after me. "Dear woman, here is your son,"
Jesus said. And to John, here is your mother. John did what Jesus asked and took me into his home. He has been like a son to me, such a support in everything that has happened. I thought there would be another miracle. After all, the angel said nothing is impossible with God. I waited to see what God would do. But there were no miracles that day. I waited to see. God did not save him. The light went out of my life, even as the sky turned dark. The hope of Israel went out with the sun. The next 3 days were agony. My heart had been torn in two, just like the veil in the temple, and I was angry and hurt. Grief overwhelmed me. I didn't know how I would go on. I did not understand what God had done. But then, everything changed. On the third day, the news began to spread. The women who had gone to anoint his body had found the tomb empty. Jesus was no longer in the grave. He started to appear to his followers. Many of us saw him with our own eyes. There were more than 500 of us. I can't tell you what it meant to see Jesus again. My son was alive. Jesus was dead. But now he is alive. He has defeated death and darkness. God brought the miracle after all. Gabriel's words had never rung more true. Nothing is impossible with God. And now my precious son is back with his father in heaven, and soon I will join him. As I now come to the end of my life, I have no fear. Jesus told his disciples, because I live, you will also live. I believe this. I will live with God forever because of what Jesus has done. The child that I delivered into the world will deliver me into heaven. I've seen the story from the beginning to end, and I know without a doubt Jesus is the Messiah, the one who saves us from our sin. This is why he came. This is why he died. His brothers came to see it too, and they've become leaders in the church. As the news of Jesus' death and resurrection spreads, many more have come to believe. Do you? Do you believe he is the one we have been waiting for? Do you believe he came to save you from your sins? Do you believe he is Emmanuel, God with us? I had a special role to play in the story, and I was honored to play my part. But each of you has a role in the story, too. God would use you, just as he used me, to bear his light into the world. If you are willing, say yes. God would put his word in your spirit to grow something beautiful, to carry his goodness, his light, and his love into the world. You don't have to be anything special. You may be an ordinary person from an ordinary family in an ordinary town. But if you are willing, God can use you to do great things. Not by your power or strength, but by his power for the sake of his kingdom. What would God birth in and through you by the power of his Holy Spirit? Adonai Sar Shalom, blessing be yours, and God's peace be with you. this Christmas.